may be seated this morning. It's a good day. We are actually nearing the end of our series, Real Family Matters. We have been on it for a while, and God has been faithful and been good in the process. Amen? We've looked at some hard things. We've looked at some powerful reminders, and we've looked over the past several weeks at the way God has structured life is that our words have power. They speak, they communicate. I mean, just what Melody said this morning. Someone of influence spoke some words to her and it crushed her. They were words that were deceptive, manipulative, and they crushed her. But when someone spoke truth to her and life, it freed her. We all know this because we've had people in our lives who were people of influence and they spoke to us, and what they spoke changed the course of your life, either for evil or for good. And the Bible recognizes this power that God has given words to a soul. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." If you know this, then you will speak life to the things that need to have life spoken to them. And listen to this, you will actually speak death to the things that need to have death spoken to them. And there are some things that need to have death spoken to them. Lies, deceptions, manipulation, guilting, shame, toxic behaviors, dysfunction, that needs to have defeat spoken to it. Amen? That's why you can go back in this series, one of our early messages was, not in my house. You remember? We talked about some things that we say, no, that will not exist in my house. That's not a part of who I am now in Jesus. That's not a part of what it means to be a faith-following, spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ. We speak life, and sometimes we speak death. Now, let me just say up front, as a way of disclaimer, I guess that's really not the best word I want to use for this. You're going to hear me talk more today about speaking blessing, particularly into our future, but I want to be clear this morning of what I'm not talking about. I am not talking about a prosperity gospel of name it and claim it and you can have checks flow in the mail, okay? I'm not talking about that. We've already, for several weeks, I hope we have undone this idea that blessing equals prosperity, peace, and health. Because sometimes God will use poverty in our lives and still bless us. Sometimes God will allow sickness and disease and even death and us still have his blessing on us. Amen? Sometimes he will make us unpopular. In fact, Jesus promised that in this world we will face persecution. So I can't count on expecting that if I have good faith, I will be rich, I'll be popular, and I'll always be healthy. It's just not in the Bible. So all that prosperity gospel stuff, that's not what I'm talking about. I think if you've been around Vertical long enough, you know that. But God says there are some things that we should speak life to and some things we should speak death to. We should speak life to the things that he speaks life to. And if God is for it, we ought to be for it. If God has said he loves it, we ought to love it. If he's put his blessing on it, then we ought to put our blessing on it. And this is what real families do. Real families who are followers of Jesus speak life in their home. They speak the same things that God says. And they speak death to the things that God says to speak death to. Now, Jesus spoke life. And sometimes Jesus spoke death to some things. So turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to see a very fascinating passage of scripture. It's a time when Jesus is walking with the disciples on the way to Jerusalem. And here's how we know that Jesus was fully man and fully God, is because the Bible says that here in Matthew 21, it says that as they were walking on the road, Jesus was hungry. Jesus got hungry. He did. And so if you're hungry this morning, it's okay. You're just like Jesus. Yeah? Okay, that wasn't funny, I guess. All right, here we go. Matthew 21, it's a very unusual passage. Here we go, verse 19. It says, "And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves." Now, it's interesting that scripture goes into detail about this. Jesus and the disciples are walking along, and they see a fig tree. And on this fig tree are no figs, they're just leaves. Now, unless you're a fig tree expert, you wouldn't know the significance of this. I'm not a fig tree expert, but I read a few things, so that makes me somewhat knowledgeable, okay? So here's the deal. Fig trees produce the fruit before they produce the leaves. That's interesting. The bloom and the fruit show up before the leaves show up. And so if you see a fig tree with leaves on it, you should see fruit on it, because fruit comes before the leaves. So if you see the leaves, there should be fruit. But Jesus happens upon this fig tree, and there are leaves and no fruit. Now that's interesting. Something is amiss here. Something is not as it should be. And Jesus is about to have what's going to sound like an overdone reaction. You're going to think, man, that dude, he really was hungry. He was hangry. Okay? Here's what the Bible says. That Jesus said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." I told you. Jesus must have been hangry. He says, and immediately the fig tree withered away. Jesus just says, no fruit? Never again are you going to bear any fruit. And the fig tree just withers in this moment. Like, what is going on here? I'm sure the disciples were thinking, what is happening here? A few clues, I think, to what is happening here we can understand from this passage. The fig tree in Scripture is often a picture of the nation of Israel. And here we have this picture of the nation and what they are like. Now, this is a description of the nation as a whole, not necessarily of every person, but as a whole, in general. The nation of Israel was going to reject Jesus as the Messiah. But they were a group of people who were very religious, especially the religious leaders. They put on a good show. They put on a good front. They could look very good in front of everyone else. They had their robes, the religious leaders. They had all their righteous things that they said, that they did, that they decided on. But Jesus saw through all of that, and he knew that they were one thing outwardly and they were another thing inwardly. In fact, he called them whitewashed tombs. They were cemetery plots with lots of flowers on them, but there was just death inside them. And Jesus called them out for that. And here, this picture of the fig tree is a picture of a tree, the nation, that has lots of leaves on it. It looks impressive. But when you pull back the leaves and look, you realize there's no fruit here. There's just a lot of show. And Jesus was saying, this is what this nation is like right now. They have a lot of religious show. They put on. They go to their assemblies. They offer sacrifices. They gather together. They know the law. They quote the law. They tell others to live by the law. But on the inside, you won't find humility, sincerity, sacrifice, generosity, real righteousness. And so Jesus was showing the disciples a fig tree that has no fruit is of no use. Neither is a nation who says they know God but has no fruit in their lives. Now that just smacks all of a sudden for all of us, like, whoa. Because here's Jesus also calling out fake news Christianity. Christianity that just puts on a front. Christianity that'll show up on a Sunday but doesn't live it out on a Monday. Christianity that will talk about the Bible but doesn't live out the Bible. Christianity that will talk about knowing Jesus but really has no understanding of what that really means, and they have no fruit in their life. There's no humility. There's no sincerity. There's no righteousness. There's no joy and love. There's only pretend and facade, and behind the scenes is something very different. Jesus speaks a curse to that way of life. He speaks a curse to this tree, and it immediately withers. It says in verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? How did that happen? You just spoke to it. You didn't take an axe to it. You didn't break off the root or the branches. You just spoke to it, and it just withered. How did that happen? Verse 21, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree. In other words, what I just did, if you will have faith and trust your Father in heaven, you will have the power in your words to speak defeat and death to some things that need to have defeat and death spoken to them. And he goes on, he says, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Now, Jesus was speaking powerful words to them about the power of their words to speak life or to speak death. Now, over the past several weeks, we've talked about this word blessing. We've talked about how sometimes in our own modern American thinking, we think blessing equals money, ease, and health. And we have pretty much dismantled that idea here. If you need to go back and listen to those other messages, go ahead and do that. Blessing sometimes involves money, but sometimes it involves poverty. Blessing sometimes involves being well, but sometimes it also involves sickness. Sometimes it involves sickness that goes on to death. And it does not mean because I'm not rich, not healthy, and not influential that I'm not blessed by God, because blessing has to do with God's spoken word to me about who I am in Jesus. That's blessing. And if when he says to you and I as his followers, I love you, I've chosen you, I've redeemed you, I've forgiven you, I've accepted you, I'll never leave or forsake you, I am working in your life, I am working all things to conform you to the image of his son. That is spoken blessing. That is his favor spoken to you, right? Ephesians says that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies spoken to us, Ephesians 1:3. And so I can have that blessing on me, and I can go through good times, I can go through hard times. I can go through having much, I can go through having little. I can even go through struggles and trials in my life, and I don't look at what's happening around me and say, oh, God must be against me. Because I don't measure my identity based on what's happening to me. I measure my identity based on what Jesus says about me. And that means I can actually walk through a trial and know who I am. That's knowing blessing. But man, that's such a, it's such a transformation of our thoughts to think that way. I can't tell you the number of times I've still am rewriting that in my mind. Blessing has more to do with God's spoken favor to me than it does being healthy, wealthy, and popular. But there's another word that we have to carefully understand from Scripture. We looked at blessing. Let's look at the word cursing. Cursing is one of those things that you and I know the minute you see this word, you're like me, you think cursing equals profanity, right? Oh, I try not to say any curse words. Don't be cursing, right? So we think of profanity. We think of words we shouldn't say. And Christians can go down this whole path and even get to the path they say, I don't want to even say anything that sounds like a curse word, you know? I'm not going to go down that whole path this morning. I've walked down that path before where I've made sure I didn't say anything that even sounded like, you know, a word of profanity. When the Bible talks about cursing specifically, it's not talking about profanity. When the Bible uses the word curse or cursing, it's talking about speaking defeat to something, about speaking destruction to something, about speaking an end to some things. Just like in the beginning pages of Scripture, when the serpent deceived Eve. God pronounced a curse on the serpent. He spoke an end to him. And one day, there will be an end to him, praise God. He spoke a curse to him. God also cursed the soil in Genesis. He changed it. And from then on, we would only know thorns and hard toil when it comes to work, because a curse was pronounced on the soil. Later in Genesis, you read that God said he would curse all those who cursed Abraham. He would bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him. We also know that the law, interestingly, says that if a person is found guilty of a crime and hung in a tree, they are cursed. There's just a few references of Scripture where curses are pronounced. But listen carefully to me. God did not curse Adam and Eve. He did not curse you and I. But what happened is we would all, because of Adam's choice, we would all live under the effects of the curse. And that's what this world is under right now, the effects of a curse. This is why you and I today know things like disease, defeat, conflict, frustration, pain, abuse, injustice. Those are all effects of a curse. Even death is the effect of a curse in which this world fell under when Adam sinned. Now, the good news was and is that God promised that there would be one who would come who would take away the effects of the curse. Even in Genesis, he promised that one would come who would whose heel would be bruised, but he would crush the head of the serpent. He's referring to Jesus. And Jesus does show up on the scene. And Jesus shows what it looks like to live with God's blessing. And Jesus begins to do things with that blessing. He begins to heal people. He begins to speak life to people. He says that we can have peace with God by having faith in him. And he restored people, redeemed people, because he wanted us to know this is what life looks like when you know and live under the blessing of the Father. And so he demonstrated that. He lived it. And people hated him for it. It upset the religious leaders of his day. And so they made sure he came to an end. In fact, they spoke a curse upon him. And he went to the cross. And there the Bible says, the one who knew no sin became sin, so that you and I, those who believe in him, might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took the effect of the curse upon himself, so that those who would believe in him would have that curse removed from them, and they might actually know the blessing that he had. What an unbelievable move by the Father. So we come to him by faith, and the Bible says that when you believe, the curse is removed from you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not living under that curse that's upon you. Do we still live in a world that's under a curse? Yes. But as far as how God sees me, loves me, relates to me, I am no longer under condemnation and cursing because of my sin. That has been removed. Praise God. And he actually transfers to our account the blessing of Jesus and says that we can now stand in that and we can know that we have the blessing of the Father. Listen, your past, if you put your faith in Jesus, your past is no longer held against you. It has been removed. It has been removed as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. You've been forgiven. You're declared righteous. Your past is no longer held against you. You're not going to arrive in heaven one day and have to make an account for every sin you ever committed. If you put your faith in Jesus, that has been removed from you. Praise God. My past is changed because of faith in Jesus, but my identity has changed as well. I am not who I was. I've been down this path also where I've called myself, well, I'm just a rotten sinner. I'm just a sinner at heart. You know, deep in my heart of hearts, you know, I'm just still corrupt. The Bible does not teach that. If you are in Christ, you have become a new creation. You are made new. His Spirit is in you. Do I still wrestle with old patterns from my past? Yes. But now I am a new creation seeking to live righteously. I am not a sinner trying to somehow work off my sin. This is important. My past has changed. My identity has changed. And listen, because you are in Christ, your future is also secure. If you are in Christ, Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of his hand. You belong in him. You are there. You are secure in him. But not only that, your future here on earth is still in his hand. He's promised some blessings. Listen, he's promised to conform you to the image of his son. He's promised to move you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He's promised that no weapon formed against you will prosper. He's promised that he's going to protect us so that even the gates of hell, were they to rage against us, they would not prevail against us. He's promised that the trials of this life that he'll actually use to shape us into the very image of Christ. Amen? Every part of who you and I are has the stamp of God's acceptance, approval on it. Has that been kind of a wrestling match for you in your own mind and heart to take all that in? Let me just tell me yes. Is that a wrestling match for you to take in? Yes. I am approved, accepted, righteous, and called blameless by God. That's hard to take in. But this is what we do by faith. We believe that. Don't look at your track record and say, well, I'm trying to get there. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by your faith. Amen? All right, let's do a little board work here. I hope you got something to draw with. We got some good stuff here to do today. So here's you and me. All right. I almost worked this week on a little bit different drawing of a guy, but I didn't. So this is just my typical guy we draw here. All right. And here's the deal. You and I, now in Jesus, are being conformed to the image of his son. Am I trying to be saved? No. If I have faith in Jesus Christ, I am saved. Amen? I am secure in him. I'm not trying to be religious enough so that I can be saved one day. I am saved by faith in the blood of Jesus. And so this is my standing. The Bible says that I am seated with him in heavenly places right now. You are. Your identity is one of favored status with the Father. He loves you. He loves you as much as he loves his son. He favors you as much as he favors his son. Don't start looking at your feelings and trying to measure that. Don't start looking at your track record this past week trying to figure out if you've got that. Believe it by faith, because this is what he says we have in him. Amen? And here's the deal. That's my standing. And you know where we all are today? We are at different levels of understanding. I am here, but I'm trying to understand what that means. I got a standing and I'm working on my understanding. That's different. That's not me trying to get there. I am there. Now I'm in process and he's working all things together for my good. So we could call this our future. From wherever you are today to that point in heaven where we see him face to face, in this process in between, this is our future. These are the rest of this day, tomorrow, this week, next year, next decade, till the day you are called home. This is your future. And the Bible tells us that he is already in that future, already working in that future, and he is working all things together for our good. He is moving us from faith that we have today to more faith we'll have tomorrow, and from glory to glory. Amen? So in this process, if he's in it, if he's determined he's working in it, if he's determined he's gonna take your best days and worst days, and nothing can strip you out of his hand, nothing can make you lose your standing or his favor in you, then my future is pretty secure. Amen? It is. I don't have to look at the news today to figure out what my tomorrow is going to be like. Aren't you glad? If you're getting somehow your mood boost for the week by checking your online news accounts for tomorrow, whew. As Mr. T used to say, I pity the fool who's doing that. Because that ain't working for you. It's just making you sad and depressed and afraid, and you're struggling. So it's important, if this is my standing and this is where I'm understanding, and even along the way here, I'm not gonna be in and out, up and down, saved, not saved, I'm saved, and he's at work all the way in the process, then I would say that our future has blessing on it. Amen? And it's important that you and I say that about our future. That you say things like, I trust God for my tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? It's important we say things like, God, you are working all things together for my good. All things. It's important that we say things like, God, I know you are with me. God, I know you are for me. God, I know no weapon formed against me will prosper. God, I know you are leading me to know more of your glory. That is saying what God says about my tomorrow. That is speaking a blessing on my future, right? And if I do that, then I will have things like faith. I'll have greater confidence. I will actually have hope. I'll have security. I will even have joy. I'll have peace. I won't be living up, down, and all around. I'll be living with my eye focused on the Lord, knowing he has my future. He's in it. He's working in it. I know, not because of me, but because of Christ, I have his favor, and I can begin to walk in what he's called me as righteous. This is saying what God says about your future. And this is the result. This is what happens when you say the same thing. But I'm afraid that sometimes, instead of us saying this about our future, we speak cursing on our future. We speak things like, well, I know I'm gonna mess this whole thing up. Well, no one likes me. Everybody thinks I'm weird. I sure can't have that kind of faith. People are all talking about me. I'll never break this habit. I don't fit in. God wouldn't use me. I've messed up. I'm different than everybody else. No one thinks I'm worth anything. You know what all of those are? Listen to me. Those are spoken curses. You are speaking cursing upon your future. Not profanity, but if you are speaking defeat and destruction and a failure and an end, you are cursing the days that God has said he will bless. And if you do, there are some results that come with it. here's what happens. If I look at my tomorrow not with this, I will start having, as a real part of my life, fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety and worry. They are the package that comes whenever I am not trusting in the one who holds my tomorrow. When I'm not trusting that I have the Father's blessing upon me. Because fear says, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to me? The worst thing is going to happen to me. Oh, I'm so worried. I'm just anxious. I'm just so fearful about tomorrow. Look, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But when you speak all of the words of cursing upon your tomorrow, you will have these as your results. You will have things like rejection. They will happen to you. Here's what often happens. Someone says, well, I'm just weird and no one likes me and I just don't fit in anywhere. So guess what they do? They go into a room and the first thing that they do is pull away from all the people. They back up and they pull away and they kind of get this posture here and they're kind of uncertain. And so they pull away because they think everyone is going to reject them. They think everyone is going to pull away from them. They think they're already cursing their future when they walk into that room. And so if you're all over in the corner by yourself, hunkered down, thinking everybody's going to say something or do something weird to you, guess what's going to happen?
They're going to do it.
They're going to do it. They're not going to talk to you because they're going to say, oh, man, they look so painful. And if you're in a good situation, someone might come over and say, hey, how are you doing? That would be great. But often that's even so awkward and uncomfortable because you look so awkward and uncomfortable, right? The thing is to say, God, this is a new situation. I'm feeling a little uncertain and a little insecure. But you are with me. You have accepted me. You've said you are in me. You know my days. You have a purpose for me. You're working all things together for good. And you brought people into my life for a purpose. And you've made them to be a blessing. And you've made me to be a blessing. Hey, how are you doing? You see what happens when you start walking in the confidence of who you are and not in the cursing of who you are? Oh, be careful what you say about your future. You'll start getting into doubt. You'll get into all kind of self-loathing. Woo. This is something that's just prevalent in our day today. And the enemy is loving it. You get into this thing of just, oh, I just can't do anything. I'm just so weak. I'm so weird. I'm so tired. I'm so this. I'm so that. And you just loathe all the time. God will never bless me. I'm always such a failure. I can't do anything right. Loathing, loathing, loathing. God could never bless me. I can't even understand what they're even talking about at church. I don't even know what all that is. No one even, yeah. You are bringing the cursing upon yourself because you're speaking cursing about your future. And you will actually experience more defeat. I'll never be able to break this habit. I'll never be able to have that kind of faith. I'll never be able to worship like that. I just get too nervous. I'm too anxious. I'm too this. I'm too that. It's what happens when you speak cursing upon your life. You and I are called to speak blessing over our future, over your tomorrow. You and I ought to be the kind of believers that say, God, you've said I have the full favor and blessing of Jesus. So I declare I have every spiritual blessing in me today. You begin this next week. You say, God, I declare what your word says, that nothing can snatch me out of your hand. You declare with your own words, God, I declare that no weapon formed against me will prosper. You can say that because scripture says that. You say, God, I declare that you are for me and not against me. God, I declare that even my trials and my faith will be increased. My faith will be increased even by the trials because you're working all things together for my good. You start speaking that into your life, you won't walk around experiencing the depression, sorrow, defeat that so many people walk in today. It's important that we say those things ourselves, but listen to me. It's also important that we speak these things to one another, especially children and teenagers. Now, you might not have any children at home right now. You might not have any teenagers at home right now. But if you're a child of God, if you're a saint, you have the power to speak life to some people who need to have life spoken to them. Because if you're not a child or a young person this morning, you remember those days. You remember the struggle. You're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out your identity. You don't know if the crowd should form your identity or if you have a different identity that's in Christ. You're trying to figure all that stuff out. Look, this is where you and I as adults have the power to speak life to children and young people. So whether you have children, young people in your home or not, we ought to be ones that are saying to them, I declare that my children, grandchildren, or this young person I'm standing in front of is a heritage from the Lord and will be a strong arrow in the hand of the Lord. Go up and say that to a young person. Tell them, God has a purpose for you. God created you. He knows your days and he knows your calling and he has good things planned for you. Tell them that. Tell a child and tell a young person, God has plans for you that are greater than you can ever even imagine for yourself. Tell them that they are destined for greatness in Christ. You're not just blowing wind at them. You're speaking the truth of God's word to them. Amen? Amen? You and I ought to be those people. We ought to be the ones helping them know God has every blessing for you in Jesus Christ. Speak that. Help them know that. Help them know you are unstoppable when you're trusting Jesus and walking in obedience to him. When we tell that to a generation today, we'll change the future. Amen? It's important that we speak this to ourselves and we speak it to others around us. So let me just wrap up today with a passage that speaks some blessing to us. I'm going to read it, but I want to say this first. When you look at your future, it's sad for us as Christians because sometimes we look at all of this right here and we actually say cursing toward it. Oh, I could never have that kind of faith. I could never have that kind of hope. I could never have that kind of joy. I could never have that kind of peace. I could never have that kind of righteousness. You are speaking cursing on what God is speaking blessing. And sadly, a lot of Christians today are speaking blessing on the things that are actually God is cursing. When you agree with your fear, when you agree with your anxiety, when you agree with worry, when you agree with rejection, those are things that God has cursed. And you are speaking life by saying, yes, this is what I have. This is who I am. Don't speak blessing on the cursing and don't speak cursing upon the blessing. Speak the blessing over what God has blessed and curse what God has cursed. Romans 8, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the blessing we have spoken to us. Woo! We ought to be saying the exact same thing about every moment and every day that's in front of us. Don't speak a curse over the day that God has blessed. I waited till the very end to show you the title for the message today. I'm wrapping up and here's the title. Stop cursing your future. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that when you saved us, you secured us. Not only did you secure us, but you also determined that you would be at work in our life and that every moment would be used by you to shape us in the image of your Son. I pray we would not let fear, worry, doubt, rejection, depression, or anything keep us from seeing your blessed hand upon our life. May we walk in that. May we stand in that, knowing that through Jesus and Jesus alone, we have your favor, we have your righteousness, and we have your love. And it's in the name of that Savior, that Redeemer, that one who loves us, that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.